All right, let's move into some more questions. I think you pretty much, in the course of our discussion there, you answered both Rob and
DMO,
PJ.
I answered DMOs, didn't I, there?
Yeah, what you did.
What does it look like in Utah?
But you answered Rob and TJ's as well at some point there, so I'm going to skip on down to Todd in Atlanta. Todd says, Bob, I know this is, he's referring to your previous focus, your model in Detroit there that we highlighted in the Saturday workshops. It says, have you completely abandoned the days of finding cheap houses and renovating them for other investors to buy? If so, is it a function of the uncertainty of that segment of the Detroit market, the ability for investors to get refinanced, falling home values, or all of the above?
Oh, good question. For me, I like to go, and if anybody knows me, and if you followed me for what I've been doing for the past 4 or 5 years, you'll see that I'm usually changing not the concept of flipping real estate, but how I'm doing it. And the reason I'm changing is because I'm adapting to the market. Any good investor, any good business operator has to adapt to the market. And I think we've always, you know, you've seen what can happen to a company if they do not adapt to what buyers want. The buyers' wants and needs are always changing. The variables that are affecting something are always changing. So it's not like I've stopped flipping. I've always been flipping, but I used to wholesale, and what Todd was referring to is buying a house and selling it turnkey. Well, the reason I stopped flipping houses turnkey to out-of-state investors is because the financing is an absolute nightmare. Banks do not want to lend to investors in Metro Detroit. They, even if you have a great credit score, even if you have a lot of money, I think Chase was one of the big banks, but I think every bank, that national bank, has kind of come out with this kind of new rule that says if you're an out-of-state investor, the property has to be owned for a year, or you have to own the property for a year before they will finance that property, even if they are putting 20% down and all those type of things. So the banks hate to lend money to out-of-state investors, and it just scares them. So, you know, when it becomes extremely difficult for a buyer to buy a property, even though they want to, you know, it's time for me to adapt. So, yes, I would say I have not completely abandoned it. I am still selling some properties to out-of-state investors that are turnkey, but what I'm doing is I'm doing it with I'm doing an option, and I think there's some other guys. I'm sure, JP, you know some guys that are doing that, but I just happen to know a few investors, and I just said, hey, if you're willing to sell these for $15,000, give me an option price or the right to buy at $15,000, and then we just throw some stuff out there on the internet trying to sell them for $25,000. And if we get a buyer and they actually can get money, or if they're a cash buyer, then, you know, I'll sell that property to them. But it's because of the financing. It's not really because of the falling home values. I mean, home values are always falling, and yet I'm still able to sell a lot of property. It's not really the uncertainty of the market in Detroit. We're finding that people still want to buy in Detroit, even with GM and Chrysler and all of that. So it's mostly the financing that caused these guys to not be able to buy houses anymore. So I have to adapt.
I think we should emphasize that is a temporary issue that is a factor of today's market. The market is still there. In fact, I would be willing to bet if the long-term financing weren't choked up for investors right now the way it is, there'd be a heck of a lot of people wanting to snatch up those deals, and I'm sure there are. They just, you know, their hands are tied unless they're going to sink their own cash into it for a long time, at least in a lot of cases.
Well, most of the buyers out there now are people who have IRA money or Roth, you know, 401k money, and they just want to invest in something besides the stock market. Now,
yeah,
I want to bring up something else about my personality real quick here. I'm a marketing cheapskate, right? I don't really like to do marketing, so there's a lot of marketing that goes into finding those type of buyers, and I just don't like to do marketing. And so you have to do quite a bit of marketing on the internet and, you know, and different means to really get those buyers' attention. So that's why I've steered away from it. I like to utilize what's on the MLS. I like to utilize other people to sell my properties, and I've always been that way. So.
Okay, next question is from Lloyd in Phoenix. And Lloyd says, does your model work best in high foreclosure areas? And there's no shortage of those these days. We know, you know, the Phoenix area even a little bit, I think. Does it work best in higher foreclosure areas?
It does. It does. The more foreclosures, the better it works. And there's really two reasons for that. JP, you and I were talking about this a little bit yesterday, but one of the best things about it is when you have a lot of foreclosures, you quickly are able to recognize the established clean REO market. And that's key for a lot of people. It's difficult to really work this system or this model if there's not a lot of foreclosures, simply because it's tough to kind of figure out what the clean foreclosure market is. But you got a lot of foreclosures, usually there's an established ARV, or what's the acronym we were going to use, the clean REO or whatever REO ARV, but you can
right.
establish that number very quickly. So that's great. That's what you want. It's, you know, it's always nice to go on the MLS, and I'll use the condominiums as an example. And you go and you look up, you're trying to pull comps on condos, and you pull up all the sold condos, and there's like 15 comps, and the square footage is within 2 or 3 square feet. I mean, it's wonderful. It's like, ah, man, you know the number inside and out. It's great. It's a lot more difficult to try to go pull comparable sales in a neighborhood where one house is 2,500 square feet Victorian, another house is 4,800 square feet, and the numbers are all over the board. It's, you got to kind of sit there and scratch your head and kind of go, my goodness, what is this house really worth? And so with the more foreclosures that are out there, the better it is. Taking Phoenix as an example, there's a lot of new construction. So that's even better because a lot of the subdivisions have the same square footage, or there might be like 2 or 3 models. So you can kind of really quickly identify certain houses, what they're going to be worth at the clean foreclosure price. Then obviously what I really like about that is the more foreclosures, that's the more opportunity for you to buy a deal. So, you know, there's more inventory for you to buy. And the odds are the more foreclosures, the more likelihood 1 or 2 or 3 of them or a percentage of them are going to be really messed up. And the messed up ones are the ones that you want to go after. And again, I'm thinking about Phoenix. Excuse me. With Phoenix, you know, let's say, you know, most of the houses are going to be new construction. So, you know, let's say one of them had a flood or, you know, something else, then that's a great, you know, the more foreclosures, the more opportunity you'll have to find those type of homes.
All right. You know, the next question also touches on something we talked about yesterday. It is another one from Lloyd in Phoenix, and he says, can you not assign using your system? Do you have to put cash into the deal to purchase these REOs from the bank? And I can tell you right now the answer is, with this model, yes, you are required to actually purchase the property at least, you know, a large percentage of the time. But it touches on a real concern that several people expressed in their questions in one way or another, and that is with regards to getting the financing, the short-term financing for this model. Can you just kind of talk for a minute about that, cover some of the things we talked about yesterday privately?
Yeah, you know, let's get into the meat of that real quick. The one thing that I want to recommend people who are just getting started or perhaps don't want to use a lot of their cash is in this market is to try to partner up with somebody. And the reason I recommend that is, you know, I've talked to a couple of people who have approached me and they're having a hard time. And when I dig down and figure out what's going on, what happened is they laid it all on the line. They put all everything in their piggy bank in this one deal. They still had to get a private loan, or they went to their in-laws or whoever, and they got a private loan. They put all this money into this deal, and the market just did a little and crapped on them, right? And so all of a sudden, their house that they thought was going to sell for $450, they have an offer at $450, but financing falls through. The market's running away from them, and now the house is worth $300,000. So they're into it for $400,000. They've had it under contract three times. It just keeps falling through, and now they're in a lot of trouble. And I think all of us would agree that the market probably has to go lower before we bottom out here in the U.S. So most likely in most cities in the U.S., you are going to have you have a time limit, right, where if you own that property for more than 60, 90 days, the value is probably going to drop more than what it is worth right now.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that, I recommend a partnership. And all the risk is going to go on the guy putting up the money. And if you're upfront about this and say, you're the money guy, I'm the deal guy, I'm the idea guy, let's go on this together. Now, here's what could happen. Here's the opportunities. Here's the downsides. Let's go into this together. That way, there's not a lot of risk for people like that. So you can't assign a bank-owned property. They have a clause right in their contract that won't let you do that. You're going to have to close cash or get some financing. But it's a lot easier to close with someone else's cash and not have an obligation to pay them back. So, I think a lot of questions were raised about how do I get money? How do I get financing? I need some cash behind me. And, yes, cash will get you a better deal than if you're to use financing to make an offer. I think everyone should be using cash right now, either through a partner or through a private lender. So, what I would say is, yes, to your question, you're going to have to put in cash. But if you find a partner and they put up the cash for you, then it's going to hedge a lot of that risk. And I don't know, do you want to go into more details with that, JP?
I kind of would. I know we don't want to, we have other questions we need to get to. But I also know when we do these sessions for your Detroit folks and maybe for the REI Tips folks, I know that's one element that we're going to focus a lot on, because it is such a touchy point, and we're going to really go through it as exhaustively as possible. But for right now, how would you answer someone who says, look, everybody says not to worry about the money, that if I find the deal that's good enough, the money will just show up. And I think that's a great idea, but, you just got done telling me how tight it is for, long-term investor financing. Every hard money lender that I go to, like Brookview, is, snubbing their nose at me. So as much as I'd like to believe that, I find it hard to believe. How would you answer that person?
Well, the answer is going to come back, find a partner. The reason why is you're going to give up half the profits, but if you find a partner, it's more appealing to somebody to want to put their money in the game, because now they're getting more than 10 or 12% on their money. They're getting a good chunk of the profits, so that's going to appeal to them to where they're going to possibly want to get into the market, because you're offering more to them. And the other thing is what I try to tell people is, and I tell my students this, I partner with my students. Yet I have one student where I no longer partner with him. We've partnered on a couple of deals, but he has proven to me over and over and over that he can get rid of deals, that he can make money. I'm now his private lender. I went from being a partner and making half to making 12 or 15%. And I'm fully comfortable with that because I have excess cash. I want to put it somewhere, and he wants to make more money than just splitting it 50-50. But he was smart enough to be able to cultivate a relationship with me, give me half the profits a few times, prove that he can do it, and now he's got a private lender that can give him as much money as he'll ever need. So I personally tell people, go the partner route. Find somebody, whoever it may be, and get in front of them. You're going to have to do some salesmanship, but just say, hey, look, this is a great deal. Here's why. Here's what Bob's doing. Here's what I've learned. Here's my education. Here's my research. And here's why I think this, and here's my plan, and here's my backup plan, and here's why I think this is going to work. And I think that that's a great way to go into a relationship or build a relationship, because now you don't have any risk. If you screw up, then you can liquidate the property quickly, and you can get out of it and break even. And you got another person that's with you. And partnerships can be horrible, but usually they're never horrible for just one deal. And if one guy's the money guy and another guy's doing all the other work, then usually those partnerships end up working out pretty well. So I fully recommend that that's what people do. Go out, find some money, offer them half the deal. Then once you prove it to them a couple times, come back to them and say, I got some stuff underneath my belt. I could probably go out and get my own deals now. Are you interested in being a private lender? If not, thanks a lot. You've whet their appetite, and you've avoided all the risk.
Okay. Now, we all know that you have been, for years, you've been a hard money / private lender in the Detroit arena and in some other arenas. I also know from our conversations that as the market has shifted, again, like you said before, responding to the market, you're doing a lot less of that than you used to, and you're doing it. I believe the tap hasn't completely dried up. You're still doing some lending, but you're doing it with a little different criteria and a lot more selectively. Could you? And this is not, this is not in any way a pitch for people to come to you for money. So let me get that right out there right now. But as someone who has access to funds, and you've got more sitting there now than you used to, and I know even though your criteria has tightened up, you're still looking for the right opportunities to get it out there moving around. How has your criteria changed? How would you, if there's people listening to this who are looking for a private lender, how will they recognize that the criteria are right to be enticing to someone like you?
If you follow my formula and you have a 30-day exit strategy, a 2-week exit strategy, at maximum 2-month, or worst-case scenario, you find an FHA buyer and it's exactly 90 days. If you got that strategy and you got that deal, I will fund those deals. I typically get, I would say, 5 to 10 requests for hard money a day. And the question always starts up, are you still in business? So everybody likes to ask, are you still in business? And this is just from my website, Detroit Hard Money. And everyone kind of knows me around Detroit, but they also know that just about every hard money lender has gone under. So that's the first question they ask me, are you still in business? And I reply back, yes. So then it's, well, I got this guy who wants to buy this house and he's going to refi and dot, 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 dot. And I just shoot back and say, I'm only financing people that can give me my money back in 30 to 60 days. And then I put it on, in other words, flippers, people who can flip. And, it's interesting because I'm kind of having this fun but yet little testy conversation with the guy through the emails. And he responded back, and he's like, no one's doing that in Michigan right now. No one's flipping deals and getting money back in 30 days. It ain't happening. And it is happening. It happens all the time. Just people, the model in Detroit is buy a house and refi it. Well, I don't want that. What lenders want right now is they want their money back. It's more important to protect the money they have than to make a lot of money. Lenders have drastically shifted from one end of the pendulum to the other, where they used to be too aggressive and they weren't worried about anything, to now they're the other way, where they'd rather make 6%, 8%, 10% on their money and know that their money's going to come back to them, versus mm-hmm. before they wanted to make 25, 30, 40% on their money, and there was a big element of risk. That's how lenders think. That's how I think. So I can promise you, if you look at the institutional lenders, the Wall Street buyers, those type of people, look at what they're willing to pay for government bonds right now. They're actually willing to lose just a little bit of money to know that the government will be able to write them a check back. That's where mm-hmm. the majority of America is thinking right now. So you have to get in the head of a lender, and that's how lenders think. So, again, the reason I tell people to go for a partnership, and I will tell, we were talking about this JP a little bit yesterday, but a guy came to me from L.A. who works South Central L.A., and he's in a problem right now. He's put all his money into one or two deals, including his father-in-law's money.
And let me say this, too, that this guy, after our last call, after part A of this, tracked you down and found where you lived and showed up on your doorstep, right?
He did. He found out that I lived in St. George. he lives in L.A., so L.A. is only 5 or 6 hours away. He drove up here over Christmas break, figured out, and he's like, we're going to meet for lunch, track me down. We met for lunch, and then he kind of, he just like, can you help me out? And we went through his scenario. And his scenario was not one that's not uncommon with a lot of people. His numbers are very similar to what they are in Michigan now. He had all his money in one or two deals. The house was sold a couple times, but it never went to closing. Bank of America and other banks yanked their program at the last second. So now he's sitting in some deals where he's upside down in, and he needs the wholesale. He needs to pick up some quick money. So, you know, I'll tell you, from a private lender standpoint, I quickly, you know, after talking to him, I assessed what the right number was to buy, and he even admitted it. He goes, well, I need to buy properties at this price. And so he's like, what can I do? And I just, you know, it's spontaneous to me, but I said, if the numbers are what you're telling me are true, and I can verify that, I'll put up the money for you. I'll be your partner. And just like that, he just looked at me, and he was like, I don't believe you. And I said, do you want a proof of funds? I'll email you a proof of funds. I'm like, the numbers have to be what you're telling me, but if they are, my goodness, why wouldn't I want to put up the money? You got a smoking deal here. And he walked away from that conversation feeling much better about himself. And did he have to try to sell me? He didn't. You know, what I would tell people is, go find anybody who's making money in real estate right now and just sit down and start talking to them and tell them what your plans are, and then just kind of say, if I find a deal that's 60% of the clean foreclosure price, will you go into this with me? I would be very surprised if they're not going to be interested in doing something like that, because if they understand their market at all, they're going to know that's a really great deal. They're going to feel safe. They're going to feel confident in what you're doing. And the key thing that it got all of this whole business goes back to finding a great deal. If you could find a great deal, then the money will come. But some people want that money to know the money's behind them up front. So, you know, I try to tell people, you know, look, I talked to this guy for a half hour, and I was willing to give him, I'll back him. I mean, why not? I mean, he knows what he's doing. He's done like 10 deals. He got stuck in a situation that unfortunately a lot of us have gotten stuck in. And so, you know, I have access to so much cash, and the reason why is because I constantly resell my properties. I put 3-month balloons on my hard money loans. I'm turning the money so much, and now that I turn my money so quickly, I have so many private lenders that are asking me, we have an extra $500,000 or $1 million. What can we do with this? I don't want to earn 1.5% in the money market anymore. What can I do? And I have to kind of turn them away, because I'm not just going to go buy a property to buy a property. So I want people to understand that there's still money out there. The money is not difficult. It's just you got to talk to the right people. You can't talk to the people who don't have any money who are losing a lot of money. And most hard money lenders are losing a ton of money. So you don't want to go to your traditional hard money lender. That's the wrong person to ask. You want to go to someone who's got money, who hasn't been scathed by this market, and you want to say, hey, are you willing to partnership, or would you be willing to back me if I follow this formula and this model? And, again, his intent was not to ask me for money when he met me, and I'm the one who offered it to him, because I'd love to make an extra $30,000 by putting up $85,000. He'll make 30, I'll make 30 if he can go out and find that deal. And I'm like, why wouldn't I want to make some more money doing that?
Right.
So that hopefully that just gave some insight into what people can do to try to find some money to back them.
Absolutely, very good insight. Let me go ahead. We got to bust through these questions kind of fast, because I know we've taken a lot of time and it's been worth it. But I want to try and squeeze them all in without maybe in the next half hour if we can. Jenny from Sacramento. And I'm skipping a couple of questions here because they're related to things you've already talked about, and I think either you've already answered them or they're too unrelated, so we're going to pass. Jenny's question, what about houses around $85,000? Lots of those available here in Sacramento. We're having a hot market for clean foreclosures under $100,000. because they cash flow as rentals. What would you do in that kind of market where my proof of finances is about $65,000 for offers?
All right, well, I'm going to work backwards there. If your proof of finances is for $65,000, you definitely don't want to buy properties for more than $65,000. You probably want to buy them for less than $65,000 because you're going to flip them for $85,000, right?
Right.
So that's going to answer her question there. No, she doesn't have a problem. Most of her offers, I would imagine, will come in well under that $65,000 range because she wants to try to sell them for $85,000. The second thing is what she's talking about is a more of a wholesale scenario. The buyers who are buying foreclosures under 100 grand are not homeowners. They're investors. And this sounds like a great opportunity for her to make some good money as a wholesaler to investors because she can build up a buyer's list. And I would imagine in California, there's a lot of investors who are like, wow, if I can cash flow, and they probably want as many properties as they can get their hands on because they've probably never been able to cash flow in Sacramento before. And now that they can cash flow, they're going to want to hold on to everything they can because they know eventually the market will turn around in California. So I think she's got a great opportunity there. I don't think she should go with this wholesale strategy. She needs to go with wholesaling and flipping to investors. I think she's got a great way to make some money there.
Provided the information she stated in her question is accurate, because there's
still
that question.
Yeah, if houses are going for 80, if most houses, if there's a hot market at 85, 90 grand, man, if she could even get something for 55, 60, 65 and just flip it, I mean, that, like you said, if that information's right, she could sell to investors all day long, which is what I did hundreds of times back in Michigan. I wholesaled hundreds and hundreds of deals to investors just like that. One other little thing that I'd suggest for her is trying to figure out how to get these guys some financing, small local bank, private money, something. If she can bring a deal to an investor and have the money there, I think she'll do really well.